Are you? Okay. That's better. They can hear me now. All right. We're winding this quarter down. We just got a few more lessons. We're going to talk about the migration of the Danites tonight. And Jimmy will be talking about the Levite and his concubine on the Lord's Day. And then we're going to have two review sessions. And I've got some good questions. And I think what we'll do, use in conjunction with the questions, we'll kind of do a review as well. So it ought to work out pretty good. All right. The migration of the Danites, and we find this in the latter part of Judges tonight, and Sunday will be the last part of the Judges. We went over to Ruth and on over to First Samuel, and now we're jumping back and finish up Judges. And the migration of the Danites took place actually earlier than the latter part of the Judges. And we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight, the time frame that that works with. But it's not connected with any of the leaders of Israel. It's not a part of the story of the Judges. And yet, it's placed in the Judges. This may have occurred shortly after the death of Joshua. And we'll kind of see how that plays out here in just a few minutes. Micah and his idols set up the stage for a story of the moving of the Danites. This shows just exactly how deep that the Israelites had actually gone into idolatry. This was actually taking place during the days of Joshua. And we're going to see that in just a few minutes. But a man lived in the hill country of Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he was talking to his mother. And he said the 1,100 pieces of silver that were taken, that you uttered a curse over, Mama, I took it. Yeah. So he admitted that he had taken the money, and she thought someone else had stolen the money. And so now she turns the blessing, a cursing, into a blessing. She said, well, blessed be thou of Jehovah, my son, because you admitted what you've done. And so she dedicated some of the silver to Jehovah to make a graven image or a molten image. All right. So the image was placed in Micah's house for his one of his gods, or one that he would worship. And so Micah also made an ephod and set up one of his sons as his priest. What was involved in setting up a priest? Number one, what was involved in setting up a priest? I mean, a true priest. Yeah, had to be of the tribe of Levi, had to be of the sons of Aaron, okay, and we're going to find out a little bit more about this too. But this particular person lived in, where was it he was from? Micah, where was he at? Ephraim, yeah, Ephraim. Could he have been, or his sons been a priest? Absolutely not, you know, not according to God. Not according to the things that God set up. But there were, he wanted, his son to be his priest. There was no king in Israel, and every man did what was right in his own opinion. Does that sound familiar today? You know, that happens a lot of times today. People do whatever they want to do as far as religion, and they think they're all right. But there were not two different idols it talks about. there was probably an idol and a base for that particular idol. And we'll see that in just a moment. But there was no king. So this was before the kings came about and even before the judges came about. And we'll kind of see that in a few minutes. Though Jehovah is the name mentioned by Micah and his mother, we find in verse 2 and 3, chapter 17 and verse 13, it's obvious that what they would worship would be bowing down to an image or an idol. So it wasn't the true God that they were bowing down to and worshiping. This was a complete violation of one of the Ten Commandments. Which one was it? It's up there. The second one, what was that? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Man, I'm going to drag it out of them tonight, you know. All right, so they were not to have other gods before the true God. And yet here we see blatant action by this particular man. These were little small household gods. These were not very big. Do you remember a woman who one time stole her father's idol and carried it with them? Anybody remember what her name was, number three? Rachel. All right, Rachel did. And not only that, but it kind of gives us an idea of the size of it, because what did she do with it, number two? Where did she have it? In her, under her, you might say, she was sitting on it. So it kind of gives you an idea that some of these gods weren't all that big. So, and that's kind of the situation a lot of times with these household idols that these people had. But as you can see, it was complete disregard for God. That's a little statue of Baal that's been, archaeologists have dug up. And it's not all that big. It's just a small outfit. And sometimes you just have just the head figure. And it's a little bit different. I know that, but it was served the same purpose. Now this is the Asherah, the female part of the gods, you might say. And these two were little small figurines that were worshipped as well. And as we look at further into the Levite, there was a young Levite that lived in Bethlehem, Judah, who set out to seek his fortune. Now here's a Levite. Was he a priest? He was Levite from where? Bethlehem, Judah. Okay, we're going to find out a little bit more about him. So while traveling, while going out to seek his fortune, he came upon Micah's house. And so Micah asked him, where are you from? And he explained where he was from. And he said, he told Micah, he said, I'm looking for a place to live and to stay. And so Micah asked him, he said, well, why don't you stay here and be a father and priest and to me, and if you'll do that, I'll pay you. Well, you know, he's going to seek his fortune, right? So he's thinking, well, how much will I get out of this? So he told him, he said, I'll give you 10 pieces of silver a year, 10 shekels, 10 silver shekels a year, a change of clothes. Yeah, how many of you can get by on one change of clothes a year? You know, right. Yeah. But he also was going to provide him his food for the year. So this sounded pretty good to this young Levite in what he was going to be doing. So you might look at the term father. That was kind of an honorary position, okay? Just kind of set up as a father. He wasn't a father to anybody, but they kind of a spiritual leader, if you want to call it that. maybe advisor. So the Levite accepted the offer, and he became as one of Micah's sons. In other words, he became very close to Micah. Well, Micah consecrated the Levite. And you remember how priests were consecrated back in Leviticus? How were the priests consecrated? What all did they do, for an example? Say again. Sprinkle blood, yeah. They made sacrifices, sprinkle blood, those kind of things that went along with that. And so, this is one of the things that, now what he did here to consecrate him, I don't know. But now, Jehovah will be happy with me. I've got my own priest, he's consecrated. You know, so this Micah was feeling so good about himself. He was a very spiritually minded person, if you want to call it that. But anyway, Micah knew the things that he was doing really wasn't according to the law. I mean, if he had grown up at all and been taught by his parents at all, he would know the law. That's how we get things across our children, is by teaching them and teaching them and teaching them, so that they will understand what is taught in the Scripture. So hiring him a priest did not help, even though he was a Levite. It really didn't help Micah's situation. So the Levite could not be a priest unless he was of the lineage of Aaron. Micah thought, since he had a Levite to conduct his worship, that God would be pleased and he would be blessed and be a much, much richer person, and those kind of things that all went with that. So you begin to see just exactly how far that these people had drifted from the Lord. This was while Joshua was still alive and leading them. Okay? And we're going to see that just a second. There was not a king in Israel. The tribe of Dan sought a place to inherit. Now, when did the division of the land take place? At the end of the invasion and conquest. All the land had been conquered, right? And then they sent men out and they surveyed the land, you might say, and they picked out by number, more or less, how many would be in Ephraim, how many in Manasseh, and Dan, and those kind of things. So Dan sought a place to inherit, because until this time, their inheritance had not fallen to them. So they were right at the end of all of the tribes getting their land. Okay, right close to the end. And we find that in Joshua, the 19th chapter, verse 40 through 48. A portion of land had been distributed to them. And so you see how far back in Joshua that is. Let's see if I've got that on the slide. Let's turn back over to Joshua 19. Just look at that. All right. In Joshua 19 and verse 40, it says, the seventh lot came out of the tribe of the children of Dan, according to their families. And the coast of their inheritance was Zoah and Eshtal and Ishmesh. And goes on to tell some of the other ones that was also included in that. And moving on down to verse 47, the coast of the children of Dan went out too little for them. Therefore, the children of Dan went up to fight against Leshem and took it and smote it with the edge of the sword and possessed it and dwelt there and called it Dan. And we'll look at that just a little bit, just a few minutes. But you can see this was on back in the book of Joshua before Joshua ever died. He's still alive, and it's still going on. And if you remember, towards the end of the book of Joshua, one of the last things he told those people was to do what? Body number three, remember what he told them? Number two, anybody know? They were to put away their idols. Joshua knew they had idols, okay? And so he told them, he said, put away your idols. And you remember what he went on to say? Are you going to serve the idols of your fathers beyond the river? Are these of the land? But as for, who can say the rest of it? Me and my house, we gonna serve the Lord. So you can see that Joshua knew these kind of things were going on, and he was encouraging these people, you turn back to God, even at this point. And if you remember, one of the things they said was, we'll do it. We'll turn back and we'll follow him. Yeah, right. Yeah, we can, and we can see from this just how far things had gotten. So the census back in Numbers says that there were about 64,000 soldiers in the tribe of Dan. Now, exactly how many is still there, I don't know. I couldn't say. But there's a more than what's involved in this particular story, because this story involves only about 600 Danites, according to verse 11. So we're not talking about a great number of people of Dan, right? So if you look here, you see where Dan was located. It was kind of an L shape, you might say. And we're going to get into what happened actually at this particular time. But these 600 was just a very small part, actually, of the tribe of Dan. The border of Dan extended beyond the actual borders because they went up and fought Laish and captured it, and they named it Dan after their father, Joshua. That's in 1947. Judges 18 gives the same account, and that's what we're going to look at, Judges' account of it. And this is one of the little more that's in detail about the situation. Here's Joshua 19:47. The coast of the children of Dan went out too little for them. Therefore the children of Dan went up to fight against Laish, took it and smote it with the edge of the sword, possessed it and dwelt therein and called Laish Dan after the name Dan, their father. I believe I had Joshua up there a while ago, but it's Dan. On that. So, we see this is still found in Joshua, the 19th chapter. So this was before the judges started. Now, you look at the map up there and you see where Dan is located right there, and Laish is way up here, way up north of Lake Hula, even. And you've got little tributaries that go out from Lake Hula. And a lot of those little tributaries actually are fed from Mount Hermon, the snow-covered cap of Mount Hermon. And there it is, Mount Hermon, and you see the snow-capped mountain. And this is about the area of where, this is a modern city, of course, but this is about where the city of Dan was located. And I've heard that Mount Hermon, I think you can see snow just about year-round. What I've heard, anyway. I haven't been there. Steve's trying to talk me into going, but I don't think I'm going to handle that. The Danites could not enjoy all of their land allotted to them. And here's the reason. The Amorites came in and forced them up into the hill country. And they could not allow them to live out. They wouldn't allow them to live out in the plains. We'll look at that in just a minute. So this move up to Laish kind of alleviated a little bit of the crowding problem. But actually, how many was in the tribe of Dan at this time? We don't know for sure. But just 600 men That would be their wives, their children, and so forth, besides that, I would think. So, it would be a little more than just 600. But, anyway, the children of Dan sent 5 men from Zoah and Eshtol to spy out the land to find a place for them to move to and live. Now, that was, they were still in Dan at that time. Okay, so they sent 5 men out, and they were going to go out here and travel up here to try to find a place to live. And these men came to the hill country of Ephraim, and when they got to the hill country of Ephraim, they found the man named Micah that we talked about a little bit earlier, who had a consecrated what? Priest, Levi. Yeah. And he was high cotton, if you want to put it that way today. I mean, he thought he was good stuff. So anyway, he lived in Ephraim and he lodged in the house of Micah. And they could tell that this young man wasn't from around there by his speech. What other times did we run into a speech problem in our studies? Anybody remember? Anybody remember? Somebody had problems pronouncing a word? It was Sibboleth, and they couldn't pronounce it. They pronounced it Sibboleth. Yeah, they pronounced it Sibboleth, and it's supposed to have been Shibboleth. Okay, that was when they were fording the river, and if they couldn't say the word, they were gone. So, they were an enemy, in other words. Okay, so we find this man is known, though he's not from that area, by his speech. So, they knew he was not from there originally. They asked, "What are you doing here?" And he went on to explain what the arrangement was he had with Micah and his sons. He was a priest there, you know, a Levite, and told him about the deal, actually, how much he was making, maybe. And so if you look here, you might get an idea that this little area that's kind of cleared out would be about where they were left after the Amorites ran them to the hills, okay? So they didn't have a whole lot of territory left, see. And that's the reason they were looking to go up to Ephraim area, and that's in that area right there, and that's where Micah and his idols were. But they went through there, heading out to find a new place to live. So the Danites asked this man, said, "Well, we're interested in God's help. So would you ask the counsel of God, so we know whether our journey will be successful?" Now, can you imagine talking to a little idol god and asking, "Are these men going to have? Are they going to have success in this?" I'm sure he didn't get an answer, right? So that's how people were getting to that point here. excuse me. The young priest said, "Go in peace. Your way is approved by the Lord." Now, how did he come up with that? How did he come up that he was approved by the Lord? He made it up. That's exactly right. All right. So, the 5 men went on their way on up to Laish. They found the people that lived in peace there, and that those people felt secure where they were. There was nobody bothering them. They didn't have any enemies, more or less. And no one had control over them. And so, as we look at Laish up there, you can see that around them, get this thing to work here. Oh, okay, there. All right, if you look, there's not a lot of cities around them. And even way over to the coastline, there's not a whole lot of people, a whole lot of towns and cities and empires, you might say, that would be able to come and them be a part of even. So that's what these folks from Dan have found out. Okay, so that's what this tells you here. Laish was cut off from Phoenicians on the coast, and no one else was close enough to have control over them. So these five men returned to Zoa and Eshcol, and the brethren, when they got there, said, "What did you find?" You know, they were anxious to find another place to live because they had been pushed up into the mountains, and they couldn't be out in the plains because the Amorites run them up in the mountains. So the spies said, "Hey, let's go. Get your stuff, pack your bags, you might say, and let's head out. You know, it's a very good land. Don't be lazy about it. We'll go take this. God has given it to us. You know, it's in our hands. All we got to do is go." You know. Well, the 600 Danites left Zoa and Eshcol, taking their families with them. And in according to verse 21, they moved just west of Kiriath Jearim, and they made camp, and they called it Mahane Dan, which means the camp of Dan in that particular area. So they proceeded on to the hill country of Ephraim, and they came to the house of guess who? They had already planned this out. These five men had. So they were going to go by the house of Micah. And they were going to go there. So these spies told the group, they evidently had not told them up to this point what they'd found here. But now as they get close, they saying, "There's a house near here, and there's an ephod, a teraphim, and an idol." Wow. Yeah. And I'm sure they went on to tell them, and there's a Levite too, you know? Because the idea they had, just like what Micah had, you know, a Levite would be in charge of our worship and all that. So anyway, these five men, they went into the house and they gathered up all the things that they wanted. Micah was not at home. And the only person there evidently was the Levite. And so they took the idol and the pedestal, and they took the ephod and the teraphim, and the priest said, "Wait a minute, what are you doing? What are you doing taking Micah's idols? And you just keep quiet, Mr. Levite. You know, you just be quiet. Go with us. Had you not rather be a father and priest to us, a tribe, rather than just this one man?" That's like somebody coming to you and say, "You know, I've got a job offer for you. And it'll be an increase of $40,000 a year." I mean, there's not many people that would turn something down like that, you know. I'm not saying that's what this guy got, but he could see real quick the benefits and how much greater he would be in their eyes as priest to a whole rest of the Dan tribe, basically. And so he didn't have to think long. He was filled with joy, and he took custody of the ephod and the household gods and the idol Micah had made, and he left with them. The Danites left, but when they left from Micah's house, they took all of their families and their children and what have you, and put them out in the very front, headed up to Laish. Okay? That kind of reminds me of somebody else that did something like that one time. Anybody remember who done something like that? Jacob. Very good. He did. Jacob did that when he was going to meet Esau. Yeah, he did the same thing. But he kind of did reverse. He put his family behind. He just put the animals out front. That's right. Anyway, it's kind of similar situation. But they didn't want Micah, and if he happened to have got an army together, to come up and wipe out their family. So they put the families out front, and then they left the soldiers and what have you behind. After they'd gone a short distance, guess who showed up? Micah. He got there, and he said, whoa, what are you doing? Where are you going with my idol and my priest and my father? You know, what are you doing? And so these men from Dan, they didn't think much of it. He wanted to know why they'd taken the gods, but their reply was, what's your problem, man? You know, that's kind of today's language. What are you doing here? We don't need you. You left me nothing, Micah says. I mean, you took everything that meant anything as far as worship. Well, that's what we meant to do. So watch out, buddy, how you talk to us. Why? We might just take care of you, slay you along with your household. You know, so don't bother us. And so Dan started marching off, and Michael realized it's too many people for him. He couldn't fight them, even though he had actually got some people together to help him to go. Some of his neighbors and friends, they had gone, but they saw real quick they couldn't fight all these men. So they headed back home, and the small army went on up and attacked Laish. They killed all the people. They burned the city, and there was no one to come to their aid. These five men had done a good job in looking out about this city, because they saw real quick there's nobody close by. You know, you don't send an email to the Phoenicians and say, come help, you know. There was nobody that could come and help them. And so they destroyed the city. The Danites built a new city, and they called it Dan. And they set up the idols there for worship, and Jonathan, that was the priest's name, and he became their priest, and he was the son of Gershom. And that would be probably a great, maybe even a great-great-grandson of Moses, because Moses' son was named Gershom, if you remember. So it would be way on down back in genealogy. They used the idols all the time that the house of God was at Shiloh until the captivity of the land. When did the Ark of the Covenant leave Shiloh? Anybody remember? Anybody remember when it left? When it left from Israel the first time, when did it go away from it, from Shiloh? That's how long that this idol would stay. They used the idol all the time the house of God was at Shiloh. So when did that time cease? All right, let me give you a hint. All right. This was in the day of the judge Eli. Don't you remember? His sons, they were fighting the Philistines, and their idea that Israel thought, man, let's send for the ark. Anybody remember that? They sent for the ark, and they brought it to the camp of Israel, and there was great shouting and joy, and remember, it was so loud that the earth shook. Remember that? The earth shook that, because they were so exuberant, the ark, we're going to win this battle of the Philistines now. No, that's not going to happen. They took the ark. What else happened? Eli, when he found out about it, he fell over backwards and died. And he also found out about his sons, who were both killed, Hophni and Phinehas. So that kind of gives you a time frame of how long this actually happened of the tribe of Dan. See, during Joshua's time, all the way up until Eli's time. So it gives you an idea how long that they lived up there. They set up the idol, and Joshua was their priest to them. They used the idol all during this particular time. Jonathan, yeah, was a descendant of Moses. He was under 40 years of age, so he could not have been a grandson. He had to be. And we look back to Exodus, the second chapter, and see how old Moses was and so forth. So the captivity, and we just talked about that, and that there are several possibilities, but the Assyrian captivity, you know, came later, but it's probably not that one. And it just seems to fit right here where we just talked about, because it was taken during 1 Samuel 4 through 7 when the ark was carried from Shiloh. It's hard to believe that David or Solomon would allow this idolatrous worship to continue during their particular time if it lasted that long. So, when Jeroboam, and how long down the road is it before Jeroboam gets here? We're going to have what period comes next after the invasion and conquest? Judges, and then United Kingdom, and then Divided Kingdom, right? Okay? So when was Jeroboam? When did he come about in those? So you can see how long that this all took place up in Laish, from the time of Joshua all the way up to the time of Jeroboam, you might say. So when Jeroboam set up a golden calf, he set it up at Dan. You remember, he told them from, instead of going to Jerusalem, they could go to Dan, or, where was the other one? Where was the other one? Dan. Jeroboam told them they could go to Dan and worship, but he didn't want them to have to go all the way down to Jerusalem, so they would stop just before they got to Jerusalem. Where was that? Where was it? Well, say it again. Bethel. Right. So, from Dan to Bethel is where they could go and worship, you know, during his time frame. Okay, very good. So, a descendant of Jonathan may have actually switched over at that particular time when Jeroboam was reigning and served as a priest, if you want to call it that, during that particular time. No way to be sure what captivity or these other things as well. The evidence leans toward the time of the judges. All right, we've got just a few minutes. Anybody got a question about anything that Jimmy can answer? Say it again. One more time. Right. Right. Micah, you talking about it. That's right, yeah. He thought it was going to really do him good. Yeah, that's right. He was just saying that Michael set this idol up, and it was supposed to just really help him out, you know. Well, you can see how it really took over and kept the Danites from, you know, taking it and all that. So it really didn't help Mike at all. No other God. Okay, first... graven images, okay. All right. No graven images was the second commandment. Okay. Thank y'all for your comments.